Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I always pray about the messages. I think you know that. I always try to preach the message that I believe that God has for us on that particular Sunday. I have noticed, though, that sometimes for two or three weeks in a row, the sermons have a common theme. And the last Sunday, maybe the last two Sundays, I've talked a little bit and mentioned a little bit about choice. And this message is about choice. It's about one particular choice that we'll find in Luke chapter 5. We make a lot of choices. Life is full of choices. It's all about choices, isn't it? From little bitty things that we don't even think anything about to sometimes life-altering choices that we make. And in Luke chapter 5, there's the story of the miraculous catch of fish. And but in the middle of that story, there's a choice that is made, and I want to talk about it this morning. So let's read Luke chapter 5, and I'll read the first 11 verses. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, that's Peter's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. First of all, there is a command in this story. The command is in verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. It's a very simple command, very clear. Get out in the boat, go out in the deep, put your nets in. And then it came with a promise. He said, if you'll do that, if you'll cast out your nets, there'll be a drought. There'll be a large catch of fish. As I was reading this story this week, there are two or three things that came to my mind. One is that the Bible is full of commands. That's one of the reasons some people don't like the Bible. It's full of commands. We don't like for people to tell us what to do. We don't want anybody to tell us what to do. We don't want those in authority to tell us what to do. We don't want the government to tell us what to do. We don't want the Bible, in many cases, to tell us what to do. But it's full of commands. The first command, perhaps the most prominent command, is for everyone in particular, for everyone who is still lost in sin, and that is the command to repent. In Matthew chapter 3, the first two verses, the Bible says, In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus said exactly the same thing. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, the Bible says, In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. To repent is to confess our sin and then to turn from that sin and turn to God. That's repentance. The command in Scripture to repent is very clear. It's repeated often, and it comes with a promise. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9 says, If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's a clear command. There's an expected end. There's a promise with that command. Then after we get saved, after we obey that command, which by the way is our choice, But after we choose to obey that command, then there are all kinds of commands in the Bible for Christians. I'm not going to try to list them all. I wouldn't be able to, and it would take a long time. We're commanded to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our minds. We're commanded to love our neighbor as ourself. We're commanded to love the saved and the unsaved alike. We're commanded to preach the gospel to every creature. We're commanded to do good even to our enemies, to forgive everyone, saved and unsaved alike. And, you know, the list could just go on and on and on. We're commanded to study the Word of God, commanded to attend the service, the worship of God. We could just go on and on and on with the list of commands in Scripture. But with every command in the Scripture, there comes a choice. There's a promise if we obey God. He'll be with us and He'll protect us and He'll love us and He'll give us heaven and all those things. There's at least the implication of the punishment, if you will, for disobedience to the commands of God. But with all those commands comes a choice. God doesn't force anybody to obey His commands. He gives us, we call it free will, He gives us free choice. We can obey or we can disobey. But it is our choice. When we disobey God, we like to blame it on somebody else, don't we? It's my parents' fault, or it's the church's fault, or the pastor's fault, or the Sunday school teacher's fault, or those Christians weren't praying for me enough, or it's the school, or it's society, or it's the government, or it's peer pressure, it's whatever. It's just not my fault, you know. I had no choice. That's what we say. That's just not true. Every man, regardless of where they live, every person, regardless of what government they may be under, every person has the freedom to choose to obey or disobey the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen, I understand there are consequences. In some places, there are terrible consequences for choosing to obey. There are also great blessings, greater blessings for choosing to obey. But we all have a choice. That brings us to the choice in this story. It was Peter's choice because it was Peter to whom the command was to given, go fish. And we find his choice in verse 5. And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I'm just going to tell you right here, I love that verse. Don't you love that verse? There are times in the Bible where we have stories of people and the things that they did or the things that they didn't do. And we just kind of have to guess at what they were thinking because the Bible doesn't tell us. This verse tells us what Peter was thinking. Now, we can stick a little imagination in there, but it tells us pretty clearly what Peter was thinking. His first inclination was not to obey. Did you catch that? Master, we have toiled all the night and taken nothing. What does that mean? That means I don't want to do it. He was tired. We have toiled all night. Did you notice? He didn't say we've stayed up all night. We've been fishing all night. We have toiled all night. I'm just tired, Jesus. You know what? The nets are already clean. I think it was verse 2 or 3 tells us that they were washing the net. The nets are clean and everything's packed up. And I was really just planning on going home and getting a bite to eat and kissing the wife and going to bed. I'm just tired. I think that's what Peter wanted. That's what he did tell Jesus. You know what? I'll do it. I'll be glad to fish. But later, I need to rest first. I'm tired. All night long, they had taken that net and they'd cast it out into the sea. And they'd let it fall down in just enough weight on the net for it to fall. And then they'd pull that thing back up out of the water and check no fish. And they'd get it all ready and they'd throw it out. Can you imagine doing that for 8 or 10 hours? He was tired. I'll do it later. Be glad to do it. Just later, I need to rest first. But the command was, do it right then. Peter, cast out into the deep. Let down your nets for a drought of fish. Not later, now. Don't you sometimes get tired? I got to tell you, sometimes I get tired. And sometimes when we're tired and God speaks to us, don't you sometimes want to tell Him, well, listen, that's a good idea. I'm going to do that just as soon as I get some rest. I'll be happy to do that tomorrow, Lord. I'll be happy to do that next week, Jesus. Right now, I'm just tired. You know, You made me this way. And I've been busy serving You. And because I've been busy serving You and You made me this way, I'm tired. So don't ask me to do something now. I'll do it, but I'll do it later. When the command is, do it now. Peter was also discouraged. We have toiled all night and have taken nothing. I can hear the discouragement in his voice, can't you? Lord, I've been out there fishing. I'm a professional fisherman. And I've been out there on the water all night long, and I failed all night long. When I came to shore this morning, all the other boats were coming into the shore, and all the other boats had fish that they pulled out of their boats, and mine had none. I'm discouraged. I'm embarrassed. I don't want to go out there and fail again. It's daylight. Everybody's watching. Everybody's here. There's a multitude gathered to hear You, and they'll all see me fail. And I don't want to do it. I'm tired and I'm discouraged and I don't want to do it anymore. Boy, did you ever get discouraged? Lord, I tried to teach that class. I've been trying to teach that class for a month. And, you know, I just don't seem to. I don't want to do it next week. I don't want to. I know You're telling me to. I know You called me to do that. But you know what? I'm just discouraged, Lord. They're not listening. Lord, I've witnessed to that person for months and months and months. I've witnessed to him for so long, they're tired of seeing me come by. They don't even want to talk to him anymore. And they won't respond. They won't do anything about it. And I'm discouraged and I just don't want to do it anymore. Lord, I tried to do that. I got up in front of the church and I just kind of made a mess of things. And people, it just kind of embarrassed me. And I don't want to get up there and do that again. It's discouraging, Father. When the command was, Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Then, of course, there's this. Peter was a type A personality. He was the leader of the apostles. He thought he knew better than just about anybody else about just about everything. And he was pretty sure, I think, in his mind, this may be where we have to speculate just a little bit, but I think he was probably pretty sure in his mind that Jesus didn't know as much about fishing as he did. After all, Peter was a professional fisherman. Jesus was a carpenter turned teacher. What did he know about fishing? Probably never been fishing a day in his life. Probably never cast a net a day in his life. Probably never cleaned a net a day in his life. The only thing he knows about fish is to eat them. I know better. Peter may have been thinking, I know this is not the right time to go out and be fishing. So listen, Jesus, I'll be happy to fish, but You let me do it when I know it's the best time to do it. Don't we do that to God too? Oh Lord, I know what Your word says, but you know Your Bible, Your word was written thousands of years ago and people have changed. Times are different. You just let me adjust Your commands just a little bit. You know, I'm living in this world right now. I'm in this society right now. I know these people. I'm one of them. I'm out there among them. You just let me make a few adjustments. Just tweak a few things because I think I know better. Now, we don't say those words to God, do we? But that's what we say by our lives. Well, I had a guy tell me one time. I had a guy sit in my office and say to me, I know the Bible says that, but. And that's what we say to God sometimes. I know Your word says that, Lord, but now come on. Peter's first inclination was not to obey. And then comes one of the most amazing words in all the Bible. Nevertheless. Don't you love that word? I love that word. Nevertheless. Peter was that nevertheless contains some doubt. It contains some reluctance. But it also contains some surrender. Peter said, nevertheless, I'll do it. I don't think... there's another reason why I love this story and why I love this verse. I don't think Peter obeyed Jesus with great faith. I don't think Peter thought it would work. He had fished all night and he had caught nothing, and this was the wrong time of the day to be fishing. But, you know, nevertheless, Jesus said it, so. Come on, we've all done it, haven't we? I don't think Peter obeyed Jesus with great enthusiasm. He was tired. He was discouraged. He was probably thought he was about to be embarrassed again. But nevertheless, I'll do it. And after he said that, nevertheless, he did obey Jesus. And he even said why he obeyed Jesus. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When our girls were little, those two go together. Shara was a wonderful mother. She would tell the girls to do something, and she would explain to them why she wanted them to do it. I wasn't a wonderful father. I would tell the girls to do something, and they would say why, because Mom always told them why, and they'd say why, and I would say because I said so. They didn't like that very much. Peter said, nevertheless. Peter said, nevertheless, because you said so, I will do it. Not great faith, not great enthusiasm. As a matter of fact, I doubt that it'll work. But at your word, I will obey. It is wonderful to obey Jesus out of great faith, expectantly. It is wonderful to obey Jesus with great enthusiasm. But if you can't do either one of those things, I hope that we will at least choose to obey Jesus because He said it. When we obey Jesus just because He said it, it shows that we love Him and it shows that we trust Him. And that brings us to the catch. In verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, and when they had done this, when they had obeyed Jesus, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. All night long, those professional fishermen had fished, and they hadn't caught not one tiny fish. Peter said, we have caught nothing. But at the word of Jesus, because Jesus said so, there were so many fish in that net that it nearly sank two boats. Because they obeyed, don't miss this, because they obeyed not out of great faith, not with great enthusiasm, but at the authority of the word of God, because they obeyed, there was a great miracle, a miraculous catch of fish. If you want miracles in your life, obey God. Pure and simple, just like that. If you can do it with great faith, wonderful. If you can muster up enthusiasm, wonderful. If you can't, do it anyway. Because Jesus said it, obey it, and miracles will happen. Because Jesus said it, obey it, and blessings will come. Because Jesus said it, obey it, and one of these days you'll get to go to heaven. We were singing, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. And I thought of Rosalie Briggs for the first time on Sunday in heaven saying the name of Jesus. Because Jesus said it. And she obeyed it. All my life I've read this story. And I always thought that the big catch, the great catch, was the fish. This week as I was preparing this message, I realized that that was not the case. The fish was not the great catch. Verse 11 says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook the fish. The fish couldn't have been the great catch. They left it on the bank. I don't know who benefited from the fish, but they didn't. Peter and James and John didn't, because they forsook the fish. The fish could not have been the great catch. So what was it? They followed him. Amen. Because they obeyed, Peter and James and John and all the rest who followed Jesus gained a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They walked with him. They talked with him. They ate with him. They rested and worked with him. They ministered to others with Jesus. They let Jesus minister to them. He fed them. He protected them. He commissioned them. He taught them. He trained them. They had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That was the catch. That was the treasure. It wasn't the fish. They left the fish. They left the nets. They left the ships. The catch was Jesus. As Christians, God blesses us, doesn't He? Listen, He blesses us. We don't talk about it enough, but He blesses us. He provides for us. He protects us. He gives us peace. He gives us joy. He gives us direction and guidance throughout the lives. He gives us commands to do. He gives us a purpose for our lives. He gives us the promise, the certain hope of heaven. All of those things are the blessings of God, but they aren't the catch. They're not the treasure. The treasure is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. We get to talk to Him. We get to walk through life with Him. We get to work with Him and for Him. We get to minister to others by the name of Jesus Christ. We let Jesus minister to us by His Holy Spirit and through His power. What a wonderful joy. The priceless treasure is a relationship with Jesus Christ. A few nights ago, I put this in my notes, and I thought when I put it in my notes, I'll probably break down, so I'm going to try not to break down. But a few nights ago, I got into bed, and the weight of the pastor, of being the pastor, the weight was particularly heavy this particular night. And I got into bed, the lights were out, it was dark, and I could just sort of feel myself just and I began to pray. I just began to talk to God like He was right there next to me, because He was right there with me, because I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I just began to talk to Him. And as I began to talk to Him, I began to think about how wonderful God is. And I knew He heard me. I knew He was listening, because He's my friend. He's my companion. He's my brother. He's my Savior and Lord. And I have a relationship with Him. And as I began to talk, the longer that I talked and the longer that I thought about Him, the lighter I felt. The burden began to lift, because my friend and my Savior came alongside me and put His hands underneath me and began to lift a little of that burden. What a joy, what a priceless treasure to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to have a song of invitation. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can for just a minute. We won't take very long. We talk about being a Christian. Sometimes we know what that means. Sometimes we don't. So I just want to ask you this morning, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If you don't, you can. It is your choice. If you will choose to confess your sins, and if you will choose to turn away from your sins and turn to Jesus, He will forgive you. He will love you. He'll give you joy and peace. He'll give you the certain hope of heaven. And your relationship with Him will begin instantly. If you would like to do that this morning, you come while we sing.